The council will come to order and the clerk will call the roll. Here.
Here.
Yeah.
Here.
Councilman Lattisaw, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the
thank you. If everybody could be seated, we'll go to the first item on the agenda, which is executive communications, and there are none. Next item on the agenda is general communications. Are there any general communications from council members? If not, we'll move on to the acceptance of the minutes of meeting from the council meeting held on December 16th, 2019. Somebody could move that. Councilman McAllister moves it, seconded by Councilman Lattisaw. We'll just take a voice vote on that. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next item on the agenda is December 20th, 2019 meeting. Again, moved by Councilman McAllister, seconded by Councilman Lattisaw. Any discussion on those? If not, we'll take a voice vote. All in favor of those meetings from December 20th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All is opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain. Councilman Ricks abstains. Next item on the agenda is January 6th, council minute meetings from 2020. Moved by Councilman McAllister, seconded by Councilman Lattisaw. Any discussion on those minutes? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All is opposed? Those stand passed. Next, we're going to move to public comment under Rule 41. After the general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at each city council public hearing meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. There are two members that from the public that had signed up, Rob Cody and Joe D'Antuono, I believe. So if those two members could come up, and the clerk will limit each member of the public to 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Mr. Cody, you're first.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I'd like to make a couple of comments and some observations of events leading up to the January 6th meeting over the last month and a half. First, I'd like to thank members of the council, Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman Marola, Councilman Ricks, and Councilman Corley for their due diligence and asking the right and appropriate questions to protect the taxpayers. Everybody appreciates that. We know that you put a lot of time into that, and it was recognized and it was appreciated, particularly since it was no question that this contract was counterproductive to the taxpayers with ambiguous language that most certainly down the road will wind up in litigation and we will get burned again. We recognize the effort that you put forth to ask the city actuaries to be here and to answer questions about that ambiguous language and about the unreconciled mathematics, but they weren't able to do that. And that speaks volumes, and I can assure you that was recognized by a lot of people. I would like to make comment on the December 19th meeting that was engineered and orchestrated by the two other members of the Finance Committee, Mr. Howell and Mr. Callister.
Mr. Cody, if you could just talk about the merits of the meeting and not, you know, talk about whether we're trying to, under this public comment period, it's not, you know, I can appreciate that you want to talk about the fire contract or issues within the fire contract, but it's not meant, this is not meant as an opportunity to attack any member, you know, from a political standpoint or in a non-political standpoint. It's, as it says in the ordinance, if you could please keep your comments focused on legislation and issues that are before us, it would be appreciated. Thank you.
I think I'm doing that, and I hope you credit me for the time.
But
that was a public event. It was recorded in the minutes, so I think it has merit that we can talk about it because it does affect the city of Warwick and it does affect me as a taxpayer. The point of this is five members of the city council orchestrated this emergency meeting right before Christmas. And that meeting was found to be in direct violation of the city charter. Now, I have been here on numerous occasions when council members have been sworn in under oath, and they swear an oath to protect the city charter and not to uphold the city charter, which they violated. But
Council,
what's the
President,
penalty for violating
like
the city charter?
Rule 19 to be enforced. He's supposed to maintain decorum.
Yeah, and I've warned Mr. Cody. So I understand, Mr. Cody, that, you know, we can rehash what happened procedurally, okay? Making comments about if somebody violated, individuals violated the law, crosses the line into personal comments about individuals.
Well,
so
Mr.
we're trying to maintain a level of decorum and talk about the issues and procedures. I don't have a problem if you talk about a procedure or a substance, a substantive issue, but in, you know, identifying this council member was, in your opinion, illegal, etc. You know,
I'm quoting the city council solicitor, Mr. Marola.
That's fine. So,
right?
So address your issues procedurally if you believe that he was correct or not. I'm just saying that we're not in a situation where we're going to identify individual members as.
I didn't identify individuals, five members. But what's going on here is now is just you're really kind of sequestering my subject matter. The city council solicitor deemed that meeting was illegal.
That's correct.
Okay? He deemed that meeting was a direct violation of the city charter. That's what I said.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
So I don't appreciate having the councilman or you for that matter, anybody, try to orchestrate my words when I'm talking about something that is on the record of the City of Warwick. Having said that, and I'm going to go on record as saying about optics, it's the optics on this council now that appear to be broken, all right? And, you know, there's this great tool that we use called Access to Public Records, and it speaks volumes. When you have city council members, family members that get hired by
Mr. Cody, you're sequestering my First Amendment right. So there's a problem, okay? And it's called the Open Meetings Law, okay?
Yep.
And the Open Meetings Law says when you talk about personnel issues, okay, which you're starting to get into, talking about family members, talking about individual council members, that people have rights, okay?
Yeah.
And I do too. You do too. But we don't have the right to break open meetings law. And at this point, I'm going to refer to Mr. Conley.
Well, Before you do that, let me ask you this, Mr. Marola.
We're going to have a dialogue, don't worry. I'm asking Attorney Conley to brief us on what we can talk about with regard to personnel matters. It doesn't limit anyone's freedom of speech to talk outside this council or in the press or to send things, okay? But you cannot talk about individual personnel matters, whether, you know, that's unfortunate or not, because those individuals have rights. They have a right to come and defend themselves. They have a, and I'll allow Mr. Conley to let me ask you this.
It'll probably simplify it.
Sure.
If I perform a public records request and I get a public document, are you trying to say that I cannot discuss any of the information on the public document that's readily available to the public under the Rhode Island law called the Access to Public Records?
You can do whatever you want, Mr. Cody. In this council chamber, with regard to the open meetings law, this council cannot talk about personnel matters because the individual has the right to be present and they have certain rights under state law. So I'm going to defer to Mr. Conley.
So the council
at this 15-minute public session, we cannot talk about personnel matters.
The general public can't? Is that what you're saying? The general public can't?
No, what I'm saying is no council member or member of the public can talk about a personnel matter without, and I'm going to defer to Mr. Conley. Mr. Conley, if you could just brief us on that.
At a public meeting, a personnel matter is going to be discussed pursuant to 4246-5A1 of the Open Meetings Act. That person must have advance notice in writing that they will be the topic of discussion at that meeting. Once they receive that notice, it is that person's decision as to whether or not that discussion about their personnel matters will be held in open or executive session. That's the rule.
And that pertains to this 15-minute. So you're certainly welcome to talk outside of this 15 minutes about whatever you want about personnel matters. But if it's a personnel matter that comes before the city council, that's the law.
Okay. So let me just say this from the last meeting that was in January. I would expect that my representative, whoever he or she may be, should be able to, on behalf of their constituent, ask questions on financial matters such as documents, such as contracts. And as the city solicitor ruled, that an individual during those meetings can ask that particular council member direct questions. So when I come before the council and ask that particular council member direct questions, I get ignored, right? Doesn't answer the questions, puts his head down, and my point is, it's the optics on the city council that you're not listening to your constituents. Not only are you not listening, when they ask you a question, which they're able to do under the law, you ignore them.
Again, point of order. Rule 19, he's not allowed to do personal attacks. Forget
it's not a personal attack. I'm talking in general.
Yes, it is. You're talking to your council person.
Talking
everyone
in general.
Knows who it is.
Stating fact.
So we all understand your position, Mr. Cody.
So the position, Steve, is it's a level of frustration. When in a public meeting you ask your council member a question and they ignore you, it speaks volumes. And my point is, that's the optics of the Warwick City Council now. And it's sad, but that's the way we feel. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. President. I'd like to also point out that at that meeting, I had requested Mr. Cody direct his questions to me as the chairman of the committee.
Thank you.
And point of information, as far as the meeting being ruled illegal, it was ruled that it could be brought up at a point of order as a concern due to the language of the charter. It wasn't declared illegal.
I understand that. And unfortunately, if we're going to enforce the rules, we're not allowed to respond either. Otherwise, we'll be here all night. Yes, sir.
Mr. President,
yes.
I do realize I will not respond. I realize it's useless. However, I do want for clarification, if you don't mind, Mr. President. The motion was made, or the comment was made, that it was an illegal meeting. I would say that the process, which therefore alludes that the process of setting up the meeting was illegal.
And we know that was not accurate.
Okay. I just want to verify with the slip. Mr. President, I understand what you're saying, but the misinformation is flowing like a river. And I just want to clarify, if you don't mind, Mr. President, with the solicitor on one topic. The charter simply states, Mr. Solicitor, through the president, if you don't mind, I apologize.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. The charter simply states that you need a majority of the council to call a special meeting. Am I correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Was that accomplished, sir?
Yes. The meeting was properly convened.
Yes, sir.
It was a legal meeting. The issue that arose was simply insufficiency of process on a single member. That's all. It was not
Absolutely.
An illegal meeting. It was a mere insufficiency of process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Joe D'Antonio, Myrtle Avenue. Just wanted to say thank you, Mr. President, for allowing me to speak tonight. Also, thank you to the city solicitor for your due diligence on making sure that process was followed. I just wanted to come up. I haven't had a chance to speak. Happy New Year to all. My children were here on the meeting before Christmas. They still ended up having a great Christmas. So I also just wanted to thank the city. My grandfather passed away last year. I brought him up a few times at these meetings. but I wanted to thank the city for watching out for the elderly in this city, because my grandfather was able to stay in the house that he and my grandmother built until his last day, because of the city and the charters and the ordinances that they've put through to protect the elderly and make sure that he was locked in at a reasonable tax rate. I just want to recognize the fact that you guys put those things in place so the elderly aren't getting chased out of this city. Again, to echo what I said the last time, we do have a new family going into that house in February, and they're very excited to be Warwick residents. Also, we haven't had a lot of snow, but I also wanted to give a shout-out to the plow trucks out there. I know it's not an easy job. They work very, very long hours. It's just very much appreciated that I can get my kids to and from Warwick schools safely on safe roads that are maintained well. Also, to the maintenance garage, I know sometimes, excuse the reference, they're given a soup sandwich sometimes with these vehicles, and it's through no fault of anybody. Vehicles age, vehicles have wear and tear, but the maintenance garage has done a phenomenal job keeping the entire fleet up and running. I really can't attest to the people that work at the police garage, but let me tell you, anytime I'm going too fast, those police cars catch up to me just fine. So I'm probably aware that they're doing a great job over there too, even though I wish they'd kind of do some flat tires for me, but we'll see how that goes. Also, the Parks and Rec, Public Works, you know, there hasn't been a major issue with much of the infrastructure, and it's just nice to see. excuse me. The sanitation department, you know, they sometimes, as this week, they have a holiday, so they have to contend on trying to catch up. And I don't know how the men and women in that department do it, but my trash always gets picked up in a timely fashion, and my hat's off to them as well. what else did I want to talk about tonight? It really doesn't pertain to city government, but I think we're all aware that it's a little weird that we're not watching Patriots football right now. So hopefully next year we can get on track. My hat's off to you to you all. I really appreciate your time. I know a lot goes into this job, good, bad, or indifferent. I know you guys put your best foot forward, and I appreciate it very much. I will try to finish with, if you guys haven't had an opportunity to read the letter to the editor that my wife wrote for the Beacon, and Mr. Howe, thank you very, very much for publishing that. It meant a lot to me, meant a lot to my family. I apologize, I love my wife, so I'm getting a little joked up. But anyway, thank you for your time. Have a great night. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is announcement of appointments. There are none. Next item is appointments requiring confirmation. There are none. We'll move to the consent calendar. First item on the agenda is PCR 520, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 5-20.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman.
First item, 2019-066 has become PCR 8-20. Second item, 2020-105 landscape architectural services, favorable action. 2020-210 mobile self-contained food concessions has become PCR 9-20. 2020-239 mobile thermal printers, favorable action. 2020-240 various portable radio batteries, favorable action. 2020-256 cement concrete mixes, favorable action. 2020-261 radiator manufacturer and or repairs, favorable action.
Is there any questions on the consent calendar? I know there was items that were removed also that we'll vote on in a minute. Is there any questions on the consent calendar that we didn't have an opportunity to vote on, discuss in finance? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call a roll on PCR 520.
Corolla?
Yes.
Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Yes.
Lester?
Yes.
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 Mr.
Yes.
Riggs?
Yes.
Yes.
PCR 520 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 519, a resolution relative to traffic studies. Councilman Sinapi, that's not drafted. What's the committee report from public safety?
Hold until February 3rd.
Held till February 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 720, an omnibus resolution of congratulations and condolences. That's not drafted. Committee report, community affairs.
Hold to February 3rd.
Held till February 3rd. The two items on the consent calendar that were moved go to finance for a recommendation, bid number 2019-66, which is now PCR 820. Is that being held till
That's February? Being held until February 3rd.
Held till February 3rd. Next item on the agenda is bid number 2020, number 210, which is now PCR 920. Committee report, finance.
That was indicated as a PCR because I believe we have one member that needs to abstain.
Correct. So was that move? That was
favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 9-20.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Any discussion on this item that we didn't have in finance? If not, the clerk will call the roll, and a yes is to approve. And I understand Councilman Sinapi has to abstain.
Corolla?
Yes.
Corley?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes. Mr.
Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Abstain.
Ms. Travis?
Abstain.
PCR 920 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is a public hearing. It's PCO 2019, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, Sundown Corporation, Councilwoman Travis. It's a committee report, land use. Do you have a recommendation?
Recommend.
There's a recommendation first. Recommendation is for a public hearing. Councilwoman Councilwoman Travis, if you could move to open the public hearing. Seconded by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Public hearing stands open. First item on the agenda, the only item on the agenda is PCO 2619, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick Sundown Corporation. Is there anybody here to speak in favor of the ordinance? If you could identify yourself for the record.
Good evening, Mr. President, honorable members of the Warwick City Council. For the record, Attorney K. Joseph Shikachi, representing the applicant, Sundown Corporation. With me tonight is the principal owner, Mr. Mike Primo. I have several consultants who are here to testify. If the council has any questions or the public, I'll be happy to answer them. I want to give the council a brief overview of the project, and I'd like to give you also a travel history of the permitting process to date. So my client has purchased this property for over a year now. This property abuts the library on Sandy Lane, and he has done a market analysis and a market study and reviewed our density code, has hired planning experts, landscape architects, traffic experts, real estate experts, and under the density code would be allowed to request up to 9 condominiums for this particular site location. We thought this would be a good buffer between the library and the single-family homes. We had a neighborhood meeting. Representative for the planning department was there. Several of the neighbors showed up. They raised concerns, my client, regarding the location of the property, trees on the property, where certain things were going to go. After that particular meeting, my client voluntarily decided to reduce the number of condominiums from 9 to 8, and he also has moved the locations of the building farther away from the property line, requiring us to ask for some small variances to allow greater buffer between the proposed proposed townhouses and the single-family homes that abut the property. The design you see originated from the state of California, but with customized here in Rhode Island. My client, this is a single-level, two-bedroom condominiums. There are 8 of them. We've gone through a great deal of detail to work on the aesthetics to make sure it's compatible to the neighborhood, and it would be a benefit to do that. We undertook a traffic study. Mr. Paul Bannon's here, our traffic consultant. If the council wants, he'll testify that this is a very, very slight impact, if really none at all, on the traffic on Sandy Lane. Nevertheless, in consultations with the planning department, we were offering to make some improvements to the current traffic light that's there. Specifically, our traffic consultant calls for what they call back plates that would allow the lights to be seen. In our traffic analysis, there have been in the past some issues regarding glare and the sun causing people to know when the light is green or red. These are pre-existing. They've been there for many years. This is a remedy that we can volunteer to do that. We have moved to accommodate the location of the dumpster, all in consultation with the planning department and the neighbors. We had a planning board hearing where we received approval. I believe you have a copy of that in your record. In addition to that, there should be recommendations and stipulations. We have reviewed that, our team has reviewed it, and we've agreed to that. What you're seeing before you tonight would add 8 units of housing stock to the city. These are market rate. These are not subsidized or Section 8. These would be sold fair market, 2-bedroom units. They're very nice, they're pleasing, and we think it's a great land use transition from the library, which is a public gathering place, to the single-family neighborhood. They will be landscaped. We've changed the buildings around, so if you drive by on Sandy Lane, you look like you're seeing them, and the other units are in the back are facing sideways. So we've done little things working with the planning department to accommodate them in terms of extra buffering for them, improvements to the traffic signal in the area. We think it's a great project. If we are successful today, we still have to go back before planning, after we receive our final DEM approval, and as well as our PAP from the City of Warwick. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I have a bevy of people here to testify. I can wait until this, if there's questions from the council or neighborhood, or I can put a full presentation on as well. It's entirely up to the council. But I think I've tried to summarize the facts, and I can have everybody back them up, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is there any member of the planning department here, just so we can get the planning department recommendation on the record? I think that'd be helpful.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the Warwick City Council. My name is Bill DePasquale. I'm the planning director and chief of staff. In your packet, you will see a 10-page document. It's a memorandum to this honorable body, and it proposes a positive recommendation for a master plan change, for a master plan with a zone change to plan district residential. As council did note, and which you will see within the confines of this approval by the planning board, it is consistent with the comprehensive plan. As we all know, we do need more housing. We, in this case, what we did with the housing was not be under density, but we also made it read like a single family home. It acts as a nice transition by and between the library and the single family development. Some of the setbacks that are requested in terms of variance were actually generated from the neighborhood and their inclination to have certain separation at certain points. I will, if you want, read this 10-page into the record, or I can just cite that the planning board has issued a positive recommendation to the city council and master plan. I will note that this is a process that is comes from this honorable body back to the planning board under the preliminary statute. I think in a petition prior in another month, we kind of went through process. I'll go over it again. The process allows plan district residential overlay to be requested by a petitioner. That's what this petitioner is doing. The density is under the density that is allowed on the setbacks and where waivers are being requested, mainly because of the request from the neighbors. And at this point, the council would be acting on issuing that overlay, which is a plan district residential. The development then goes back to the preliminary stage at the planning board. There will be another public hearing. Some of the items we discussed tonight, including maybe improving the signal and stipulations, will be applied at the preliminary stage and any other new information that may come up. So if you'd like, really up to you, Mr. President.
I don't need to hear you read the 10 pages.
Okay, Mr. President.
But just as far as the comprehensive plan goes, how long ago was it that we updated it? I remember it came before us.
Well, you'd be happy, yes. Very proud, right? Because we were one of the only comp plans to be approved under the new state statute that includes sustainability. We just submitted our update to the comp plan. So it's been a quick 5 years, right? So the planning, statewide planning has our revisions and our update. So we might be the only one in the state, if we do get approval on the update, to have an updated comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan does speak to the issue of land use. Residential is a land use. I know sometimes we think about condos and apartments in a different light, but they do provide living quarters for much of the population that is needed. On the diversification of that housing stock is really important for the city of Warwick.
And I know from when we voted on that comp plan, I guess it's 5 years now, that we talked about the need for certain types of housing, in particular housing that's one floor.
Yes.
And if you could just speak to that a little bit.
Yes, Mr. President. We had a discussion about our aging population, and much like myself, Warwick's aging. Mr. Councilman, not you.
Yeah, really.
And as we age, we have different needs. And in one of the points that the council had brought up, and Mayor Solomon at the time when he was president, was the need for this type of housing in the city of Warwick. And what is this? Single level, so that we can get around as we age and we don't have to climb on three flights of stairs. It also gives an opportunity for the younger folks to come in and take the housing that we are leaving. So that diversification of housing stock is really important. What you're seeing here is that single level that was called for in the comp plan in several times. Actually, if we went to the comp plan right now, there's actual quotes where we say we support that type of housing in the city of Warwick.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Is there any questions from council members? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I have one. I know we talked about
I believe it was fire trucks, the turnaround. We have, did we accomplish that?
Yes, this plan, again, as Director DePasquale said, we'll go back to planning, but we feel right now that we and have a total, you know, microscopic look at it by the fire department, but we've designed to meet that criteria. A fire truck can't get in and out of that development in the back.
Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser, and then I'll go to Councilman Corley.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I will be supporting this particular project, but I'd also like to say, over the past several years, in my ward, we've had at least 20 new homes that have been built. And kudos to our planning department and our building department and the contractors who have been doing this, because it has virtually been painless. The quality of the dwellings that are being constructed are excellent. The planning that has gone into it from our folks in the planning department have been outstanding. And our building department has been very, I won't say aggressive, very professional in making sure that things are done the way they're supposed to be done. This particular project, I think, complements one that's going on in my ward right now, right on West Shore Road. And to go to the Council President's point, as well as Mr. DePasquale, yes, we're an aging population, no doubt. But also, I can speak to the size of the homes that are not being built anymore. I'm still active in a local building association who is extremely active in home construction. And the bigger homes, they're not being built like they were. It's the smaller homes. It's the homes with the casitas, I think they refer to them, attached. People are looking for the one family home. And as a city, we're looking for, of course, the revenue. And it's not just the tax revenue. It's the revenue that is going to be realized and appreciated and earned by all the local businesses throughout the city. And you hear comments where some folks say, well, you know what, people live in the city. I don't see it that way. Because every house that I have seen that has been built has been sold. These units will be sold. The units on West Shore Road will be sold. They're coming. They're coming back. And it's because of these type of developments and because of the foresight and the planning that's going into it to make them doable and viable as a member of our community is very appreciated. So I will for certain be supporting this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Qualley.
I have a question for Mr. DePasquale. I know that borders are very important for abutting neighbors. On page 3, you have some comments concerning a landscape plan, and along the western and southern property lines, I just have a question. Is there something missing? Because it says a 10 wide staggered evergreen hedge. It's supposed to be 10 feet. Is it 10 different? I don't understand that.
Very good. 10 foot wide staggered evergreen hedge, and that is to provide screening by and between them. Thank you. I will make sure that that's
correct. I understand, and it's in the both of those reports, the November 1 and the September 1, they're just that the word feet is missing.
Understood. Thank you for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Mr. DePasquale, I know, just to follow up on what Councilman Lattiser was talking about, streamlining the process and getting these things done in a much more efficient manner than in the past. I believe also the building department now can do inspections that I think we had sent out one of our inspectors to be able to do fire code inspections too. Is that right?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, as we know, streamlining the process is really important in getting these housing, going forward. And I know the legislature has done a good job at kind of repealing some of these laws that basically make home building in this state very, very onerous. But locally, too, as you mentioned, what Mayor Solomon has done is committed to sending out staff members to get educated on that end, the fire code and building code, so that we could have a one-stop shop, if you will, to try to expedite some of these. I think there's always work to do, but I think that was a great step by Mayor Solomon, and I know the council has engaged the legislature in the past about supporting some of the measures to improve the streamlining of construction within the city of Warwick, because in the end, ultimately, the homeowner has to pay, and if it's more money, it just gets passed down to the homeowner. And for commercial development, time is money. So anytime we can cut down that process, it certainly helps.
And is that accurate that one of our building code building officials now can act in the place of the fire department? And
in some code, fire code review, yes. He's able to act both in the building official's role and also as a dual role to look at some fire code issues.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yes, Councilman Ricks.
I'd like to commend the planning department, the planning board, and the petitioner for working together. This is something that, it's certainly not something that, excuse me, I'll rephrase that. This is something that we see on a pretty routine basis, and it's a testament that it's become so seemingly ordinary that we see this level of cooperation and really having that public process so that members of the public can participate. And while it's a very rare day that everyone gets everything that they want, we see it on a regular basis where there's movement to come together and figure out a solution that's really in the best interests of the neighborhood, the city as a whole, and make sure that it's something that everybody can live with. Just one question. I see that on the map and in the recommendations, there's information on the setbacks, the boundaries, and really more out of curiosity and in case a constituent were to ask, approximately how many square feet are the condo units?
Approximately 1,000. And that's a very good point. I just want to, while you're asking that, because these projects have a fiscal impact, and it's a positive one, because it's highly unlikely, we would never discriminate and say, or ban them, but it's highly unlikely this development will house any school-aged children. So it's more likely to be empty nesters or single professionals. And the fiscal impact to the city would be a net positive of 9 newly constructed homes at, you know, the average price is well over $250,000 today. That's a lot of tax revenue and very little burden on city services.
Thank you.
Councilman Qualley.
Mr. DePasquale, concerning the timing, I was trying to figure out when this project began. I saw some documents that were dated July of last year. Did it start around then and get to this point by now? And is that something that can be improved on for a project of this size?
Well, actually, it's a very good question. But we just spoke about something a minute ago, and it's about the ability to get a project to this point to have the least amount of impact on the community. And some in 31 years of doing this, the investment up front pays off. Right? We see in the developments here, we actually require an applicant now to go meet with the community before they even apply. Why is that important? Because before they apply, some may think that we've already made up our mind. So most of the developers have been incredibly gracious on going forward to the community and say, hey, listen, we have an idea. We want to be your neighbor. This is our idea. We want to hear from you. So that takes some upfront time. But the payoff is now. It's so this chamber is not packed with people saying, I absolutely hate this, this is not us, and this is not who I want to be. And to me, I think it's really important because a community is about neighbors and about creating new neighbors. And this process has paid dividends because I think it's created more community than processes that were maybe developed by the legislature that is strictly go in front of a board, state what you need to state, and we'll listen to you and try to change this throughout the process.
Well, I certainly understand what you're saying from my tenure on the zoning board, where there were neighborhood meetings and the developer contacted all of the people within the range that were notified. I think that 80% of the issues got ironed out at those meetings, and I have found that most of the developers that brought projects before the zoning board were very accommodating to the neighbors when it comes to picking out a style of fence, what kind of trees, how many do you want flowers, things that make people feel like they're being noticed and being listened to. So that is certainly a very good step to make that a standard part of the process. My question is, if someone were to file something next month, how long do you think a project of this size would take to get before the city council?
Well, I'd first say what was submitted, because sometimes in this business, what's submitted is maybe in excess of what that land can receive. For instance, in this case, there were 9 units. There was improper turnaround. The councilwoman being very active, understood that there was a fire concern, approached us, as she does, and all the council people do, and say, listen, we have a concern. We go back to the developer. The developer says, okay, it's a viable concern. What do we do to ameliorate the concern? Then we have another plan. So getting back to your question, depends what plan is submitted. If it's a plan is submitted that conforms to regulations, seems to be accepted with the community, that can go relatively quickly. If a plan is submitted at max everything with waivers everywhere, it's going to be a little bit more difficult and may take 6 months versus 3 months. And I will tell you, anytime anyone's coming and take a look at a file, I'll give you and I'll take the, you know, I'll erase the names, but I'll show you a very difficult project and I'll find a project that, because the developer is willing and legal counsel is willing to work with the neighbors, goes a lot quicker than some of the others.
Well, I don't see many, the waivers that usually come before the city council in this project. So I can see that it is one that would have less stumbling blocks than some other projects. But I was just trying to get an idea going forward if we have been able to take away the stumbling blocks and have the properties inspected and move them along as quickly as we can. That's basically what my question is.
No, I understand the question. It's a very good question, and I will tell you how you actually baseline that is see how many days it takes or how many planning board meetings it takes to decide on a master plan. I put up, the planning board in this city may take one, maybe two. Go to other cities, it may take 5 just to get through master plan, right, or 6. So that's the proof is in the pudding. We have great developers in this city. They work with us. They get it. When we go forward, we want to go forward with the elected officials in the community. And as a team, we're able to present something that everyone is quite frankly, happy with. And I think we've seen a couple of really large developments, both on the commercial side and residential side, that have gone through the process and has come out the other side pretty well. And I know Councilman Ricks, we have one back in our hometown, and Councilman Lattisaw, we have one in West Warwick. I know Councilman Travis and McAllister and Snappy. McElroy, we've all had developments of some type, and they were in varying degrees of asks, if you will. So in this case, where you have, it's multi-jurisdictional too, so you have DEM, you have ISDS, OWTS, so there are a lot of factors, but in this case, you have a planned district residential, which is an overlay. So normally, they're not coming to this honorable body if they're just putting a single-family home. So if they're just putting a single-family home here, then they could pretty much just get a building permit without even having to come to us. But because this is a multifamily, it's a good multifamily use, it's a good condo use, the condo association will have to actually keep the property in repair, good repair, and in general we've had very good luck at having that diversification of demographic be supported by these condo units within our city.
We have had a sizable amount of development that has happened since I've been on the city council, and it's one of the things that gives me a positive outlook that these, once all of these developments open, they are going to attract more developments, and I am optimistic that that is going to occur, and I believe that that is going to help change the landscape and perhaps create some revenue for the city to help us with other problems when it comes time to sit down and do our annual budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi.
Just a quick note, that fixed the traffic lights, actually a big deal. Once that got done at Greenwich Avenue, that was one of the reasons why people stopped getting hit by cars down there, so big fan of that change.
Thank you. Any other council members have questions? Is there anyone here, anyone else here to speak in favor of the project? Anyone else here to speak in favor of the project? Anyone else here in favor of the project that would like to speak? If not, is there anyone here to speak against the project? Is there anybody here to speak against the project? Is there anyone here to speak against the project? If not, Councilwoman Travis, you can move to close.
I make a motion we close the public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Meeting, the public meeting stands closed. Councilwoman Travis, you have a motion.
I move favorable action on PCO-26-19.
Seconded by Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilman Corley. Any discussion, any further discussion on this issue? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
Corley. Yes.
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 PCO 2619 stands past first passage. Next item on the agenda
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that. And I want to not only thank the council and the planning department, but also the planning staff. So many times that we do this, we forget. And Ms. Lydia Cruz Abreu is here. And we have been negotiating this for 2 years. And you see a final product that everyone likes. There's no opposition. Received 9-0. As much as we all recognize the hard work and talented work that Mr. DePasquale does, behind every good director, there's a good staff. So she stands behind him, and I want her to be recognized as well. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is PCO 2719, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, Zarella Development Corporation. This is for public hearing, committee report, land use.
Recommend open the public hearing.
Well, you're going to recommend favorable action.
Excuse me.
Councilman Sinapi. Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The public hearing on PCO 2719 stands open. Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the project? If you could identify yourself for the record.
Good evening, Mr. President, honorable members of the Warwick City Council. For the record, Attorney K. Joseph Scacci, representing the applicant, Zarella Development Corporation. This is a very simple request, and the presentation will be a lot shorter than the last one. I have pictures of the current site that I'd like to give to each of the council people. I will give it to the clerk or pass them out or whatever you prefer, Mr. President, whatever the protocol is.
Okay.
And then I also have proposed pictures of the duplex. So, I will be brief. This is a request for a multifamily, two-family home on Cordova Avenue in Warwick. This project, you'll see, there's a picture of the house that currently sits there. It is a two-family. I quite frankly do not know the history if this project was approved as a legal two-family or an illegal two-family, but it has been utilized for many years as a two-family. My client purchased the property. He would like to knock this particular property down and build a two-family that is much more conforming to the current code and demographics. It would supply a significant amount of on-site parking. There'd be no need for off-site parking. The property is serviced by City of Warwick Sewer. We have been in contact, as well as our engineer, with the sewer department. There is ample capacity to connect for a new two-family home. This would be new construction. The project received approval from the planning board. In addition to that, at the planning board meeting, there was a request by the planning board members and the public to have a neighborhood meeting with their local councilman, which we did. In addition to that, we had the developer there. We had somebody from the planning staff there as well. It was a Saturday morning. It was an hour plus, and we met with the neighbors. He meaning my client, Mr. Zarella, has developed some other homes in the area, and they're quite frankly very beautiful. He, at not a requirement, but added additional landscaping at the request of some of the neighbors for those current homes that are there now, and you're all welcome to drive by. We met with a neighbor immediately butting this property. There was a stipulation or in the planning department's comments that you have before you tonight requiring us to put a fence there. After much discussion, and Councilman Sinapi was present for that, the neighbor, when it was explained to him when we were out on the site, if we were to put a fence there, the way the current trees are located, we'd have to cut down several trees and several natural buffer. That neighbor requested, my client has no objection, I'm here requesting to you that we get that requirement for a fence waived, and instead, or in place of that, is to plant a wall of green landscaping as a natural buffer to actually supplement the greens that with arborvitae or evergreen with that neighbor in the back. If the Honorable Council wanted us to knock down the current trees and put a fence up, we'll do it. But it was the request of the neighbor, and I told him I would make that request to the council. Be happy to answer any questions. There is ample on site parking. We have additional parking. We are proposing a two-family on a piece of property that has in the past been utilized as a two-family.
Thank you.
I have the landscape architect here. I have the realtor here, and I have a representative from Zarella Development to answer any questions if there are any, but I'll be happy to do my best.
Again, I'd like to call on Mr. DePasquale regarding the recommendation from the planning department to the council.
Thank you, Mr. President, honorable members of the Warwick City Council. In your packet, you would have a memorandum from me to this honorable body. It actually describes the project scope of work in the planning board's findings on master plan. It was affirmed as approved a recommendation to this honorable body as a plan district light. Let's kind of go back in the Wayback Machine. Two families used to go to the zoning board for approvals. I think this body at one point in time understood that was kind of getting, the controls were less than optimal. So the council in their wisdom looked at actually supporting this, but having this body review this under the limited procedure. So this is a planned district residential limited. So two units, the requirement on a two unit is 10,500. This is 10,400. So you'll be seeking a waiver for that 100. But the idea here is that density is density. And the zoning ordinance says you can have two units on 10,500. You can request this body that they have an overlay for the limited. So that's why this two unit is there. And I mention that because I hear sometimes falsely that It could be 2 5,000-square-foot lots, a single family. Well, that can't be the case because it's not allowed under a single family to have a 5,000-square-foot unit. It'd have to be at least 7,000. But what is allowed is requesting this body issue this overlay for a two-unit. And when you actually look at the design, and this is where the design was really important with the developer and our department, we want it to read single family because the folks in this area have a beautiful neighborhood. The councilman is incredibly active and wanted this to read single family, even though we know that the requirements can't allow a two unit. So when you look at this, I would say that it probably looks at one of those palatial estates over there in 17 Farms or one of those places in Warwick Neck. But in fact, it's actually a two unit. But it's very tasteful. I will add that it actually abuts a Narragansett Electric easement, and it's 200 feet from a commercial zone, which is just to the west. In working with the folks and understanding there is a litany of concerns by some of the neighbors, Councilman Sinapi was very active on weighing these concerns versus what the land use should be in this particular area. And we decided on a couple of stipulations that we think will help. One is that a driveway of 24 feet in width shall be installed by the developer on both sides. So there'll be no parking on non-street parking. So that ameliorated that concern. We hear tonight that maybe there was in favor instead of a solid screening fencing that should be evergreen, fine by us, fine by whatever the neighbors want and whatever the neighbors will be happy with. But I'm here mainly to speak to the land use because that's what this board is actually allowing if they see fit to go forward with this. That is a PDRL, which is an overlay district. The design still and the actual land development still must go back to the planning board for preliminary review, where there's another public hearing and we can be heard again. But I will say that some of the concerns we looked at, and I believe we got a letter from one of the abutters, every single objection is noted within our file. We've actually solicited both the sewer authority as to one of the questions on odor. They had no complaints of odor. We looked at the improvement of the paving, which is going to be a great undertaking. And again, this project is not over. I think a few months ago we talked about another project, and I think it was the president said it's not perfect, but the process is the process. The process still has to go to the preliminary stage and still is a public hearing. And I think that's important to know at this stage so that we understand that expectations are something we all want to go forward with, but the expectation is also that we have another public hearing. But what's in front of you, I think, is a very well-crafted land use that just happens to be two units.
Thank you. Is there any questions, Councilman Qualley?
Mr. DePasquale, there's going, I looked at the photos or drawings, and reading this, there's going to be two separate homes on the lot. And I didn't hear anything about the lot being subdivided, so I assume that the two homes are going to be on a single lot. Is that correct?
It's a single lot with one building plate, one building split in two with two units. And if you look real carefully, you almost can see the two ingresses, the two door units and the two garages when you look at the schematic here. I bring you to the attention of the last page and the next to the last page. So it's one building plate, one unit on one side, and one unit to the south. But one building on one lot.
Well, I'm just confused from looking at the drawings that we have, and it appears as if there are two blue houses on that lot. Is one of them already pre-existing?
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
I would say that probably a more accurate depiction of what this proposal is on the sheet just prior to that. It will show the four bounds of the lot in a one building plate with two units.
Yep. Okay. When I saw it, they were two brand new buildings, but that is simply the drawing I can see now that it's a duplex with driveways on either side of the building.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other questions from council members? Councilman Lattisaw.
Chief, so, you know, I recognize this is certainly, it's a ward issue, and I respect that, and I support that. I do have a question. It is fair to say that this proposed amendment is on a case-by-case scenario. This isn't like carte blanche through the city.
Absolutely, Councilman.
Okay.
By zoning, the planned district residential is an overlay that's only authorized by this body. That's it.
I just wanted to be sure that was clarified for my own edification as well as my colleagues, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, a ward issue is a ward issue, and if it works in that individual's ward and doesn't have any impact on me, works for me. But, Mr. President, I want to just touch on one thing, a comment that you had made earlier, because I think it's significant, and I want to just expand on it for a moment. And that is the fact that we have, and I believe it's referred to as an NFPA certified fire approval inspector. I believe that's the fancy term. Not only do we have one, we have the only one, to my knowledge. Chief, you could correct me if I'm wrong on that, but to my knowledge, we are the only community in the state that has an individual employed by us who has that certification. And that is huge. That isn't just a little thing like it's another inspector. That is huge. And I don't mean to minimize the qualifications or the quality of an inspector, but it's huge, because this is reasons why people or builders want to come to Warwick, because they don't have to wait months and months for a fire code review. And I mean, we know from time to time we disagree with each other, and that's fine, we can do that, but I also believe in giving kudos where they're due. And the credit for that particular position certainly goes to Mayor Solomon. That was a monumental step forward in encouraging builders to come to our community and build, so they don't have to go through this egregious process that they incur in other communities. So I just wanted to make that out.
And Councilman Lattiser, I was just going to say it's not lost on all of us that you were a vocal advocate for that process, and we certainly appreciate the administration's position in doing that, in expediting the hearing of those petitions. That doesn't mean that when a petition regarding a fire issue comes up that it's rubber stamped. It just means that it's heard in a timely manner. And one of the problems and one of the complaints I'm sure we've all heard over the years, at least I have, you know, at times getting something approved as simple as a deck took months.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that the deck should have got approved or it should not have gotten approved. It means that it's heard in a timely, efficient manner so that decisions can be made. And people who purchase properties or want to make investments in areas of the city that may or may not be considered blighted would be encouraged to do that, because you don't want people making decisions stating that, well, my investment is going to be tied up for months, and I don't know if I want to invest here in Warwick or here in another city or town in Rhode Island. Just because of the length of the approval process. And that should not go on deaf ears. It should be known that the city of Warwick will look at these issues now in a more efficient manner, that those proposals would be looked at and ruled on in a reasonable amount of time. And so that developers just don't pass us by because they're concerned that it's going to take too long. And bringing those services under one roof and not worrying about it being transmitted to another department that might have a lot on its plate and cause delays, I think was an excellent move on behalf of the administration, and I certainly appreciate it. Councilman Qualley.
I have one more question for Mr. DePasquale.
I'll have to pick his brain once more. Your mic isn't on.
Mr. DePasquale.
Yes, sir.
I'm out of practice with this. Can you define in common parlance what the word overlay means?
Yes, sir. So each property is divided into different zones in the city. And in this case, residential zones consist of residential A7, which requires 7,000 square feet of area to build a single family home, A10, 10,000, 15, and A40. Within those zones, you're eligible for a overlay. Call it cheese on a hamburger. That overlay allows you to do a little bit more. It could be planned district residential, which is multifamily. You saw two versions tonight. You saw a full PDR, which is over so many units, and then a PDR light, which is two units. Also eligible within a residential zone are planned unit development, which mixes office use with residential to certain performance standards. So the underlying zone stays, in this case, residential A7. If the city council saw fit to approve the PDR overlay, that lays on top of it, so you have underlying residential A7, PDR overlay, light, and then that's your zoning district. If you peel that back, it always goes back to the underlying zoning, which is residential.
Okay, and the overlay in this particular development is that it's going to be a two-family home on an A7 lot.
Yeah, so basically planned district residential means that the density of the unit, the land use stays the same, still residential, you just have more density on that lot. And whether it's light or whether it's a full PDR, the density calculations are actually prescribed by ordinance based on how much area you have.
I understand the concept now. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Councilman Sinapi.
One main thing to make sure, I know everyone got a copy of the letter from the two constituents. Just want to make sure we have it for the record and that it's noted. It's rather lengthy, so I'm not going to read the entire thing in, but at least we have it submitted so that it's part of the record. And because this will be going back to planning too, the constituents can bring their concerns up there too, those that have not already been addressed by planning, as pointed out. And for those who might remember, Cordova Avenue, this is where we just passed the restriction on parking to address one of the issues that was brought up in this letter, because that commercial property that was referenced by Attorney Shikarchi, that's the one that's been causing all the parking issues. So that'll hopefully alleviate that concern and make this development an even better situation for us.
Thank you. Any other council members have questions? Is there anybody else to speak in favor of the project? Is there anybody else to speak in favor of the project? Is there anybody else to speak in favor of the project? If not, is there anybody here to speak against the project? Yes, sir, if you could identify yourself for the record.
My name is Gary Shaw. I live at 160 Rome Ave. I'm the main abutter to the property. Although I'm not here to go against the proposal, I am here to confirm the city and the developer are committed to planting the arborvitaes or some sort of hedge type so I can maintain my privacy going from having one family behind me to now all of a sudden having two families living behind me.
Thank you. Is anyone else here to speak against the development? Anybody here else to speak against the development? Anyone else to speak against the development? If not, Councilman Sinapi, could you move to close the public hearing?
Would it be all right if Attorney Shikarchi responded to the constituent
first? I'd just like to confirm that, and if that's the will of the council, because it's certainly the will of my client not to put the fence but to put the green space, I think you need to amend it. I'll defer to your legal counsel, amends, because sometimes we just approve it and incorporate the stipulations from planning. I think you need to amend that stipulation or to say, in lieu of a fence, the developer and the city can agree to put landscaping to the satisfaction. I mean, I'm sure Senator Conley can come up with language, but I think you need to just mention it to give a little bit of guidance, because while planning is very, very important, the ultimate decisions in this project get made by the council. So that would be my only suggestion, but everything this gentleman said, we were in agreement with. We met on site to go over this. We actually walked the site.
I'll defer to City Council Solicitor.
Yes, I would agree with the suggestion that if it is the council's will to include the hedge or, for instance, abrevite sample space in that instead of the fence, that that be made as amendment with the motion.
Councilman Sinapa, you can make that amendment at the appropriate time after we close the public hearing. Is there anyone else to speak on this against the proposal? Okay. Councilman Sinapa, if you could make a motion to close the public hearing.
Move to close the public hearing.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis. Everybody, all those in favor?
Wow. Aye.
All those opposed? Public hearing stands closed. Councilman Sinapa, if you could move it favorable or unfavorable, and then we could have an amendment.
I move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Councilman. Is there an amendment you'd like to make?
Yes, but I'd like to defer to legal counsel to make sure,
sure.
I get it right.
So Councilman Sinapa would like a recommendation as to the wording. Go ahead.
If I may, for the sake of specificity, the testimony is on a boundary, but my notes, as I look at them, it's not clear to me whether it's the western, southern, eastern, or northern boundary or boundaries of the property. So okay. With the permission, if the amendment could say to include a landscaping hedge on the boundary as may be determined by planning, and okay. Then we'll include that specific boundary in the ordinance amendment.
So so the amendment would read, if you want to just, and
with
Councilor Sakachi, if you could approach the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. With the President's permission. So, Which boundary is it we're going to put the landscape?
Which directions? Southeast.
I will suggest, if you look at the stipulation, there's the stipulation, I don't know the number, but it says fencing. And if you just strike out it says fencing and landscaping. If you strike out the fencing, we'll just do landscaping.
Okay.
That's fine. And looking at the stipulation, so long as that's consistent with planning. And the representation,
and I just want to point out, this project does have to go back for planning, and that, excuse me, at that time there'll be a very detailed plan and a landscape plan, and this gentleman will get notice as well, and the city will be there. So we're all in agreement, and there'll be another public hearing to make sure we're all in agreement.
So, Mr. President, looking at stipulations, I agree that that's a good suggestion, so that the amendment would be to strike fencing and
leave everything else
in its place, put landscape hedging, and that will cover it.
Okay. Councilman Sinapa, is that your amendment?
So moved.
Okay. Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis. Any discussion on the amendment? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marullo?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Hodge?
Yes.
Mr. Lasso?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
The amendment stands passed. Councilman Sinapa, if you could move it as amended. Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis. Any discussion? A yes is to approve as amended, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCO 2719 as amended stands passed. First passage.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is PCO 2119, an ordinance relative to employee benefits that's not drafted. Committee report, finance.
Hold March 9th.
Held March 9th. Next item on the agenda is PCO 2219, an ordinance relative to council office space. Committee report, public properties.
Recommend favorable action with an amendment.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCO 22-19.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks, Councilman Qualley, Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Councilman.
Yes, I'll defer to legal counsel just to read those amendments.
Mr. President?
Yes.
So for the amendments, paragraph one, insert at the end the words as a conference room, and as to paragraph number two, delete the first sentence and insert the word all before the term council members.
Very good. Are you moving that as the amendment?
Move favorable action as amended.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 The amendment stands passed. Councilman Lattiser, if you can move it as amended.
Move favorable action as amended.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Ricks. Any discussion? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll as amended.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Yes. So, this is PCO 2219 stands pass as amended, first passage. Next Thank item you. On the agenda is PCO 2919, an ordinance relative to tangible property tax regarding vacant storefronts. First passage, it's not drafted. Committee report, finance. Is that held until March
9th? Ordinance held till March 9th.
Held till March 9th. Next item on the agenda is PCO 3019, an ordinance involving state law regarding unutilized commercial property. That's first passage. It's not drafted. Public properties. Is that hold till March 9th?
Correct.
Held till March 9th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 1618, tree damage claims. That's not drafted. Committee report, public safety. Held till February 24th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 13418, resolution to create a charter review committee. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 134-18.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Howe, Councilman Qualley. Any discussion on the resolution to create a charter review committee? I know we had discussion in committee. If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 13418 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 3.1-20, now 2020-225, structural firefighting particulate hoods. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 3.1-20, formerly 2020-225.
Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Is there any discussion on the firefighting particulate hoods? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 3.1-20, now 2020-225, stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 18019, resolution to the General Assembly, requesting a waiver slash exemption to ride regulation slash requirements. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Hold at the request of the sponsor at 224.
Held till February 24th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 18419, a resolution relative to no commercial trucking on Narragansett Parkway. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Hold to March 9th at the request of the sponsor.
Held till March 9th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 19019, a resolution relative to claims. That's public safety. Committee report, public safety. Held till February 3rd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 19519, a resolution relative to creating a commission to study health insurance benefits. That's not drafted. Committee report, finance.
Hold till February 24th.
Held till February 24th. We'll move to unanimous consent. Anything for unanimous consent from Ward 1? Pass. Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8? And Ward 9 passes. Councilwoman Travis. Councilwoman Travis moves to the docket session. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Council now stands in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Yes, Mr. President. One item, a resolution by the Warwick City Council urging the governor not to raise the amount a veteran pays to live in the Rhode Island Veterans Home.
I'll go into intergovernmental. Anything else for Ward 3? No?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Yes, Mr. President. I have a resolution. It's going to be school bonding consideration for the 2020 ballot.
Finance. And is that co-sponsored?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. It's co-sponsored by Councilman Rolla, Councilman Qualley, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Council, Ward 6, Ward 7, Ward 8.
One, resolution of General Assembly to enact legislation authorizing City of Warwick to issue general obligation bonds for the fiscal years 2022 through 2026.
Finance. Ward 9 passes. Council stands adjourned. Have a good evening.